Lord, we say that you are God, and there is no other God but you. I'm asking you, Lord, today to anoint me to effectively do what you've called me to do. I'm asking you, Lord, today to minister to the needs of the people, the things that you said we could have. And Lord, when it's all said and done, when this world is over, I would count it a personal blessing to me that everyone that is under the sound of my voice today would be in your presence with victory, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory and honor for all that you do and all that you accomplish. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you today. Good to see you today. It's my honor to be back at the Thomasville Church of God. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate the fact that your pastor has taken some time off to refresh himself, and he and his wife, and I know that they are being blessed in regard to that. And I want to do my best to fill in for him and to do what I can to be a blessing to this church. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, he said, the devil is working overtime all the time because he knows he has but a short time. How many's glad that the devil only has a little bit while to go? Amen. Praise the Lord. That same preacher said that the storm clouds of the tribulation are already beginning to gather. I believe that. These statements were true back then, and certainly they are even more true today in the times in which we're living. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapters 24 and 25. I doubt if I would get into 25, but I say that because Matthew 24 and 25 are Jesus' words about the last days. I know there's a lot of books written on prophecy. I know there's a lot of books written on the last days. These are Jesus' words. These are important, okay? And I want to share some things with you out of those. So Matthew 24, I want you to look at verse 21. We'll be going through and sharing some scriptures right there. So Matthew 24, 21, it says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Does anybody in here today think that this world is in good shape? I hear a bunch of no's out there. I don't hear any yeses. I'm in agreement with you. Let me tell you something. If you think this world is bad now, wait until the great tribulation. It is really going to be bad. Fortunately, you and I don't have to worry about that, okay? You and I, who are prepared to go, will not go through the great tribulation period. Amen. The Bible says that our body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. In other words, there's coming a day, there's coming a time, there's coming a moment, there's coming an hour in which we are going to be changed and we're going to be like him. This is not, the tribulation period is not the final destination for the true believing Christian. You see, we have an appointment, like I said, with the rapture resurrection event. And it's going to be goodbye, world, goodbye. Now, I enjoyed all of this singing today, but I really liked that first part. I guess you would call it a collage of songs about the rapture, about heaven, unclouded day, you know, all of that stuff like that. Those are the songs that I grew up on, and I really enjoyed that. Folks, that's something that we got to look forward to. Amen. I am excited about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. Notice what it says. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why does it say that all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn? Well, simply what this verse of scripture is telling us about is the time when Jesus Christ, at the end of the tribulation period, is going to come back to this earth. He's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. And he is going to establish his kingdom upon this earth for 1,000 years. The devil is going to be put into the bottomless pit. And you and I, the true saints of God, we are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years upon this earth. And that's just the beginning of the eternal kingdom of God. Hallelujah. At the end of the tribulation period, of course, this is going to occur. But before the tribulation does occur, I believe that the true believing Christians will be caught out of this world again. Therefore, I want you to look at Matthew 24, verse 36. Notice what it says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let me ask you a question today. If you knew that Jesus Christ was going to come back tonight at midnight, how would you live your life for the rest of the day? How would you conduct yourself for the rest of the day? If you knew that that was going to happen, let me tell you something. One day it is going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen at midnight. I just use that as an example. It could happen at 4 o'clock in the morning. It could happen at any time. We don't know when that time is going to come, but we do know that it is going to occur. It is going to take place. It is going to happen. So when Jesus says that we don't know the day or the hour in which it is going to happen, I want to tell you today, friend, I don't know about you, but I do not want to miss it. And as I prayed earlier today, I would count it a personal blessing that when Jesus Christ comes and gathers his church together, that every one of you under the sound of my voice would be with me, and we would be together, and we would be with others in heaven for a 7-year period, ready to come back and set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. See, I have emphasized the phrase, or I've stated the phrase, true believing Christians a few times, but I've done that on purpose, because when we look at the next 61 verses of scripture, in Matthew chapter 24 and in Matthew chapter 25, we are told of the certainty of the coming of the Lord. But not only are we told of the certainty of the coming of the Lord, but we're also told how we can be absolutely certain, absolutely sure that we are rapture ready, because we don't know when the time is going to occur or going to happen. So Jesus spends a lot of time in those next 61 verses telling us, telling you and telling me how that I can absolutely be certain that I am ready to go when Jesus Christ comes back. So let's look at some of the things that Jesus tells us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, okay? And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It talks about, you've heard it all of your life, as it was in the days of Noah. Let's see what it says right here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It goes on to say, for as in the days that were before the flood, notice what it says they were doing. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, fathers were giving their daughters to a man to be wedded to them until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then one more verse of scripture, verse 39. Listen, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you hear what we're saying right there today? Now, I want to real quickly today go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, of course, talks about this story in the Bible, and it tells us about the days of Noah. And it tells us some things that were going on in those days that I think we need to pay attention to. Now, I want you to remember what I just read, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But this is what Genesis chapter 6 tells us. In verse 5, it says that the wickedness of man was great. I wish I could stand before you today and tell you that we are not living in a wicked world. But if I told you that, you know that I would be lying to you. We live in a very wicked world. The next thing we find out in Genesis chapter 6, it says that every imagination, not only were they doing the deeds that they were doing, but every thought, every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. It wasn't just on Saturday night or Friday night. I mean, they are continually having evil thoughts in their heart and in their mind. In verse 11 of chapter 6 says that the earth was corrupt. I wish I could tell you today that this old world is not corrupt. I wish I could tell you that we're not having the convulsions, the physical and geological convulsions that we're having upon this earth, earthquakes, fires, storms, all sorts of things like that. I wish I could tell you that those things are not happening, but if I did, I'd be a liar because those things are happening. The earth is corrupt. It says that the earth was filled with violence. I believe that's in verse 11. Yes, that's in verse 11. I wish I could tell you that we do not live in a violent world. We just heard Chris up here just a few moments ago telling us about young people that are taking guns and killing each other. We read about it on the news yesterday. A man goes into a store and kills, I think, at least 10 people. And those used to be anomalies, I should say. But they're the norm now. We live in a very violent world. And that's the way that it was in the days of Noah. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 12 of Genesis chapter 6. And again, we see the corruption. We see this fight going on over things in the Supreme Court. And we see where everybody stands in regard to this. And it seems like that the whole earth has corrupted his way. One more sign that I need to give to you in regard to the days of Noah, and that is this: it was Noah himself. And the fact is that Noah preached a lot of sermons. There was a lot of preaching going on. But unfortunately, one of the signs of Noah's days is that there were very few conversions. Noah preached 120 years. He consistently built the ark, and people would laugh at him. They would mock him. They marginalized him. They said, "This means nothing. God is not going to do what you said God is going to do." But Noah kept on preaching, and Noah kept on building. Today, at this very moment, and then we go per time zone, there is going to be all sorts of preaching going on. Okay, there's going to be churches, and preachers are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when all of the preaching is said and done, after today is over, how many true conversions will there be in the house of God as a result of all of the preaching that is going to occur? That is another sign of the times in which we are living. Noah, after he'd done all that preaching, he had very few conversions. It was him. I mean, at least he got saved under his preaching. And it was his wife. And it was his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws. Eight people in total after all of that preaching. But it was his family. That's important. You see, when I look at myself, I understand that I am not another Billy Graham. Okay, I understand that. I don't know that there will ever be another Billy Graham, in which he can have a crusade, filled stadiums with thousands of people and hundreds and thousands of people. When the altar call is given, go down and pray and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I understand that. I understand the days in which we are living. We might as well accept that those are the times in which we live. So I will never ever be another Billy Graham. But here's the thing, I can be. I can be a Noah. And when I say I can be a Noah, I can do everything within my power. I can do everything under my authority to make sure that my wife is saved and my son is saved and his wife is saved and my two grandchildren are saved. I can do everything within my power. You see, I do have that ability. I do have that authority. And friend, every one of you have the very same exact authority. You may not be another Billy Graham, but you can be a Noah and make sure, pray, fast, seek God, do whatever you got to do to make absolutely certain that your family is ready when the rapture takes place. Now, you would think that when people see the things that are happening, again, Genesis chapter 6, all of the things that were happening in the days of Noah are the exact same things that are happening today. And they've always been happening, but my goodness alive, such an intensity, such a multiplication of those things are happening in our day and time. You would think that people that live in this world of sin and sorrow, that people would understand the times in which we are living, but they don't. If they did, they would be here right now. They don't understand those things. So here's where my heart is today. Okay? Here's where my heart is today. I understand it's in the world. I just don't want it to be in the church. That's the reason I prayed the way that I prayed today. That I would count it a personal favor, a personal blessing of the Lord. That when it's all said and done, when this thing is over with, that every one of you and everyone who may be under the sound of my voice would be in the presence of Jesus Christ with victory, singing glory, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's what I want to be able to do. That's what I want to be able to see today. We cannot allow this spirit that is in the world to come and creep into our church. You see, here's what Paul said. Paul talked about this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said that, you know what I'm talking about right here. You know what I'm getting ready to say. Paul said that in the last days, there would be a great falling away. They tell us by the year 2023 that this world will have 8 billion people in it. Of those 8 billion people, only about 2.2 billion are Christian. They're either Muslim, they're either this, that, or they're nothing. Now 2.2 is only about 25% of the world population. Of that 25%, if I say this wrong, please forgive me, okay? How many are really true believing Christians? How many, you know, that's counting everybody, okay? That's all those who name the name of Jesus, okay? That's counting. How many are really true believing Christians? See, the Apostle Paul is talking about apostasy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. When he says the falling away, he's talking about the fact of apostasy, a standing away from the faith. They used to be a part of the faith. They used to be faithful. They used to be committed. They used to be diligent in regard to the things of God. But they have stood away from that. And and there's many, many, many reasons why people will stand away from the faith. Persecution will cause people to stand away from the faith. I think you and I understand that if the Lord tarries, there is coming a persecution upon the church. There is coming a persecution upon Christians. We might as well get ready for it. False teachers are a reason. Temptations are a reason. Temptations come and pull people away from the faith. They allow the temptation to become more important than the faith of God. Worldliness creeps in, and we begin to get more worldly minded than thinking about the things of God. Okay, and so these things, the inadequate knowledge of Christ, moral lapses, forsaking spiritual living and worship, unbelief, all of these things tend to lead toward an apostasy, a standing away from the faith. And we face these things on a continual basis in our life. And it takes a real commitment. It takes a real dedication to live in this world as a Christian, the times in which we're living. So the times, the signs of the times that you and I are so aware of. Hopefully for you and me, it is causing us to say, Lord, what do I need to do? Is there anything else I need to do? Lord God, I don't want to miss it. Lord, help me to be ready. Lord, help me to do the things that I'm supposed to do. Lord, I see what's happening. I've got spiritual eyes. I got spiritual ears. I got a spiritual heart to understand. I see the things that are happening. Lord, please make sure, help me, show me, tell me, teach me what I need to do to make absolutely certain that I'm ready when that time comes. But instead of getting people closer to God, they are in reality people in our world in which we live today are acting more and more like the people in Noah's days. We see that. And so again, out of my heart, I don't want you to be that way, okay? I know I'm just a wisdom speaker, and I don't know if Alan will ever get me back again after this one, but I want to make absolutely certain that you and I, my family, is ready. Which goes to the point that Jesus made in his usage of Noah. Remember what Jesus said they would be doing in the days of Noah. I went back into Genesis and I showed you the things that the writer of Genesis, which I think was Moses, put down as these are the things that they were doing in the days of Noah. Jesus, when he says the days of Noah, he doesn't mention any of those things. He could have. I mean, the Bible tells. But Jesus does not mention any of those things in regard to Noah. He doesn't mention the wickedness. He doesn't mention the evil. He doesn't mention the corruption. He doesn't mention the violence. Again, he could have. He knew it. But he didn't. What does Jesus mention in regard to the days of Noah? Here it is again. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. They were given in marriage. Before I go into that just a little bit right there, maybe we need over to Luke chapter 17. And most of you, like me, have heard as it was in days of Noah, as it was in days of Lot. So let's combine those two. Lot is not mentioned here in Matthew, but he is mentioned in Luke with Noah. So let's bring Lot into the mix right here. And in Luke chapter 17, verses 28 and 29, it says, here are the four things that they were doing in the days of Lot. Okay. It says they were buying and they were selling. It says they were planning and they were building. That's what it says right there. Okay. It's right. They got it on the screen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Now, you and I, when we think about the days of Lot, don't have to say it out loud, but what's the thing that you think about? Sodom and Gomorrah. What's the thing that you think about? Okay, that's what I think about too. But notice right here, Jesus does not mention that. Instead, Jesus says they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. So let me ask you a question right here. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Okay. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, planting, and building. What do those eight things have in common? Think about this for just a moment. What do those eight things that are mentioned right there that Jesus talks about in two different places, what do those eight things have in common? Here's the answer. Get this. These eight things that are mentioned, that Jesus mentions, are normal, everyday activities that are not sinful. Now, I've got your attention now. Okay. You're thinking, wait a minute, preacher. These are things that people do every day. I mean, they don't get married every day. Some of them do. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. These are things that people do every day. And they are not sinful. Because if they are, you and I are in trouble. Because in a little while, I'm going to go get something to eat. And I'm going to get me something to drink to wash it down. Okay? And probably in order to do that, I'm going to have to buy it. If those things are sinful, I'm committing three of the eight today. These are not sinful things. These are everyday things that people, and you will too. I mean, I know you're looking at me like I must be the most sinful person in the world for doing those things, but you're going to do the exact same thing that I'm going to do. Noah did these things. Unless he just had a lot of wood stacked up somewhere, he had to go buy it. Okay? And Noah had to eat. You got to keep your strength. If you're going to build an ark, you got to have some strength. Okay. And he did not do without water for that long a period of time. He drank. So again, these are normal everyday activities that we do on a daily basis that are not sinful in and of themselves. True believing Christians are going to do these things. Again, Noah did these things. But here's the difference. Okay, here's the difference. That verse also says that not only did they do these things in Noah's days, but it says they knew not. Okay. Noah did these things just like everybody else was doing them in his day and time. But he did them all the time knowing that something was getting ready to happen. We do these things, but we understand that this is not the ultimate end game. This is not our ultimate goal in life, to just eat and drink and marry and give in marriage and plant and build and sell and buy. This is not the end game. We understand that there's something more. While we're doing these things, we do not allow these things to dominate us to the point where we forget about that one of these days, the trumpet of God is going to sound, hallelujah, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, hallelujah, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the cloud. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the time, we don't know any of that, but we know that is going to happen, and that is going to take place. Therefore, because Noah understood that, what does Noah do? He builds an ark. In other words, God tells him, Noah, this is what's going to happen. And this is how you are going to escape it. You build an ark. You build it like I tell you to build it. You build it the size I tell you. You build it out of what I tell you to build it out of. You do all of these things, Noah, because these things are going to happen. And what did Noah do? Noah began to build the ark. He started making preparation The first day he put that first piece of wood in place, he was making preparation. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and for all of those years, as Noah is building the ark, he is making preparation. Oh, dear friend, today, hallelujah, we know that something is going to happen. We understand that. Have we made, oh, please, have we made the proper preparation? Hallelujah. So we cannot allow this not knowing spirit to creep into our lives, to creep into our church. We can't let that do it. We've got to make sure that we are constantly aware of the preparation that we need to be making because of the days and times in which we are living. So here's my question today. Thank you for listening to me. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that has not made the proper preparation? Or maybe you started a long time ago, and somewhere along the way, you've allowed other things to get in the way of you making the proper preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what one of the major signs of the coming of the Lord is? People couldn't care less. It don't matter. They don't think about it. People don't care. It's obvious if that's in the world. We understand that. That's the way the world is. But please, please don't let that same spirit get into the church. Please don't let that same spirit get into you where it don't matter. I'm going to live my life. Again, they were living their life normal, had no idea that something big was getting ready to happen. We got to live our lives. I understand that, okay? But while we live our lives, let me say it one more time. We've got to make absolutely certain that we know about the preparation. I wish I had time to go through all of the stories that Jesus gives here about what it takes to be ready, to make sure that you're absolutely ready for the coming of the Lord. But let me share one more real quick. It's real short, okay? Real short. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. You're familiar with that, aren't you? Here's the deal. The field was men's work. So what it's saying is there was two men in the field. One taken, the other one's left. And, of course, it mentions the women there at the mill. One was taken, the other was left. Let's think about this for just a second, and then I close, I promise. They were at the same place. They were at the same time. They were doing the exact same thing. Both, they were in the field. If they're in the field, they're working. Okay. If they're at the mill, they're working. They were same place. Same time, doing the same job, okay. And one of the beautiful things about this is it's not a gender issue. It was two women. One was taken, the other one was left. Okay, two men, not a gender issue. One was taken, the other one was left. None of those things are important to us. Yes, I understand that. But as far as the Lord coming back, those are not important to Him, because again, they were the same. Exact place, time, gender, work, whatever you want to name. One was taken, the other left. Why? It has nothing to do necessarily with the work or the gender or the place or the time or anything else like that. It has to do with the heart. The preparation of the heart. The one that was taken did all of those things, but there was something in his heart. There was something in her heart that separated them from the one that was not taken. Oh, where's your heart at today? Stand together with me, please. Thank you for listening to this old preacher. This is the Thomasville Church of God. Every one of you look pretty saved to me. But I'm not making the decision, okay? I'm not making the choice. God makes that choice. God makes that decision. And so if perchance you're here today, now I know most, and again, you look pretty saved to me, so hopefully this has been an encouraging word to keep on making preparation for everybody. But if you're here today, and you know in your heart that if Jesus were to come back right now, you would be left. I would like to ask you, if you would, to take a step that can mean the difference in the rest of your life and come to this altar and just simply make the initial preparation of accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and life as your personal Lord and Savior. And then do the best that you can to serve Him, live for Him, come to church, read the Bible, pray. Do whatever you got to do to make the proper preparation for the coming of the Lord, because He's coming. We don't know when, but we know that He's coming. And brother and sister and mom and daddy and son and daughter, two were at the meal. One was taken, the other was left. One was in the field, two were in the field. One was taken, the other was left. It's me. It's you today. Would there be anybody who would say, "Preacher, I need to make it right with God today, because I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and I want to go. I don't want to be left behind." Jesus said there'd be great tribulation. Like I said, do you think it's bad now? Read Revelation. Read Revelation. If there's any doubt at all whatsoever in your mind that you would be ready to go when Jesus Christ comes back, any doubt at all whatsoever, Father, Lord, I thank you for helping me. I've done my best. Lord, I hope I've said it right. I hope I haven't said it wrong. I hope I haven't messed it up, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Got a young man up here. Maybe he's just wanting to make sure that everything's okay. That's good. That's good. Could I ask you as a church? Could I ask you as a church? And I don't know how you do things, but as many of you as would, to come around this altar and let's just have a time of prayer and pray for those that are up here. And if you felt like you needed to come just a moment ago and you didn't, but as everyone comes, if you will come and talk to Jesus, would you do that today? I don't know again how you do it. I don't want to create a situation in which you don't feel comfortable, but if you would, praise the Lord, come and talk to Jesus today. And if you can't talk to the Lord back there at your pew today, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would minister to every need, hallelujah, that is here today in this place. Lord, I pray that you would touch them and help them and minister to them, Lord God. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the sincerity of the heart. Thank you for the humility of the heart, Lord. Oh God, touch and minister in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Touch them, Lord God, and minister in this church and minister in this congregation, Lord, all over this place, Lord. You know everybody. Lord, I don't. I just feel like this is what you would have me to preach today. Thank you for helping me. Lord, let this message, not because I preached it, Lord. Lord, I'm nothing. But let this message continue to reverberate in people's hearts and in their minds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you praise the Lord with me, church? One more time, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify, honor, and adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
As we continue when they're praying, I just left children's church. Just left them babies over there, and they're talking about how this morning that, you know, I'm Christ's disciple by how? What does the scripture say, Brother Bob? They know you're my disciple when you show love. And guys, this is one of the greatest examples of love I've ever seen in my life right here, because we've got people pouring their heart out to God, but we're surrounded by folks that love Him, in our church that loves Him. This morning, guys, this is how they're going to know that we are that caring church that's fixing to step out of this box, because we're going to go out in the world and love people. And the Bible doesn't say stand on the corner and hold the door and let them in. It says to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel, which means to beg, to plead. Folks, we're at a time right now where we need to be doing that. We need to be showing God's love. We need to compel. And we need to. I didn't even get to hear Brother Tatum preach this morning. I was busy over there with us. I don't even know what he talked about. But I want to say thank you for coming and filling in. He's my friend, one of my mentors. Somebody I look up to a lot and respect. He taught me a lot of stuff in CAMS. Very good man, very knowledgeable, and I love him for it. We got church tonight at 6. I want to challenge everybody that's here this morning to show back up tonight. But more importantly, I want to challenge you to take a few minutes this afternoon. And I'm speaking to me too. As we talked about some things in Sunday school this morning about prioritizing our time and setting some boundaries and making some things more important. Take a few minutes this afternoon. Turn the TV off. Get off social media. Pick your Bible up and pray a little bit for service tonight. How hard would that be? We talked about tithing this morning a few minutes. And, you know, not so much about our money, but about our time. You know, if we actually tithed our time, how much would that be a day? We would need to give 2 hours and 2 hours and 40 minutes a day to the Lord. And the average Christian today spends less than 10 minutes in prayer and Bible reading. 10 minutes. So with that, this afternoon, if you've got time, like I said, get off Facebook. I told the teenagers this morning to stay off TikTok this afternoon and YouTube. I know y'all don't know what TikTok and YouTube is. They do. And take a little bit of time to pray. Pray for our service. Pray for each other. Just remember church at 6 tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for everything that you've done for us this morning. I thank you for the babies that were in children's church and for the love that they were showing each other this morning. God, it was wonderful. And I pray, Father, that you strengthen them this week. And I ask, God, for strength with their testing. God, you know the things that they're going through this week. And I pray, Father, for them. And I pray for our church. And I pray for everybody and every family that's represented this morning here in this congregation. And I ask that you strengthen them, undergird them, and God, meet the needs and supply every need, God, that they would have. And I pray, Father, for our church, that we would be the light on the hill, that we would be the ones that, God, sets the tone and raises the bar, God, for Thomasville. And I pray, Father, that you strengthen us and help us in Jesus' name. Go with us, guide us.